I think David will join us in a minute, and I think Mel might join us, I don't know. We'll see. But in the meantime, let's get started. So, for the time being, we'll take a look at Siman Tov Ayin Beis, which begins the night of the Seder. That's page 158. And there are many simonim here about Erev Pesach, and maybe we'll have time for that, but I'm just, you know, worried that we will run out of time, and there's a lot of material here for Leil and Pesach. Yeah, the Seder is coming.
Alright, good.
Okay, then?
If that was my vote, this is what I would do.
Okay, good, great. Okay, now I want to, at the same time, keep this safer open in case this adds anything here. That's called the Seder Ha'arach. So we'll keep it open. Maybe we'll see it, maybe we won't.
The Seder Ha'arach.
Yeah, this is called the Seder Ha'arach, and it's written by Harav Moshe Yaakov Weingarten. It's a relatively new Sefer. At 20 years old, it's not that new, I guess, but he has a section here on Dalet Kosos for the Seder Ha'arach. So we'll see if we'll look at it. I don't know if we'll look at it today or another time. Let's start with the Mechaber. So we're on page 158, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeh Shulchan Ha'arach Mibod Yom. We're in a rush to start the Seder. This is, again, a big pressure for those who have large families, especially. And the reason for this is Kedeshi Lechol Miyad Kishetechshach. We don't want to delay the beginning of the Achila. We want to keep the children awake. We want to get them involved. It's already getting late. This year particularly will be pretty late because they changed the clock. So let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. He says, "Kedei lechol miyad lav davka v'akamana kedei shiye efshalo lahaschil haseder tekef mishetechshach lo yishtaher." You don't have to really start your eating. I mean, the eating is going to come much later on, but at least the seder should begin immediately after it gets dark without delay. The Mechaber says, "V'af." Even if he's learning, we have a principle with regard to Talmud Torah that we stop learning Torah for the sake of doing a mitzvah, and certainly that's going to apply on the night of Seder. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, "Bebeis Hamedrash Ratzalom Shaosek Bilimudo Hu Adin LiYintfilah Tzarich Lizaris Atzma Likros Kriyat Shma Lispalel." So it's not a time for schmoozing and for walking slowly, you know, spazier. Now we have to get home and start the Seder. And the reason for that is because Mivnation Mitzvah Lemaher Velechol Bishvil Atinoko Shalo Yishnu. We want to start the Seder as soon as possible, promptly, because the children should be awake. The mitzvah is Vigadatul Abincha. And the Mishnah Berurah adds number Gimel here on page Pei, or the equivalent of page 159. Ratzalomo lezareis lasos haseder. We should be very, very eager to start the Seder as soon as we can. Kedesh lo yishnu atinoko, so the children shouldn't go to sleep. Ikshayedish lo yishtahar be'arachilo me'mel yishalu manishtana v'yoshiv lem v'yikai mashikos v'yigadet l'mincha b'yoma. So they'll know that we're not going to wait too long. We're going to get to the achila as soon as we can. That's what, you know, children want to eat. They're hungry. They'll be able to ask the manishtana and we'll finish the hagodim. They'll be able to eat. Some of the poskim say that a lot of the questions that we have should be delayed until the seudah. You know, it's during the course of the meal or even after the meal. That's a good time to get into lengthy discussions. But before the meal, when the children are hungry, we want them to be part of the Seder without them being upset and kvetching. So we might delay and postpone some of the questions until after we start eating the meal. However, this is as far as forward, as far as backwards is concerned. Says the Mechaber, "Avol lo yochal lo yomar kiddush ad shetechsha." In other words, on the one end, as soon as it gets dark, we want to kick off the Seder. But on the other end, we don't want to start the Seder too early with Kaddish, because Kiddush requires Lila. Now, I'm just going to tell you what I think is going to come up in the Mishnah Berurah. We'll see if I'm right. Why does Kiddush require Lila? So there are two answers to that question. One answer is because the Kiddush is the first of the Dalit Kosos, and all the mitzvahs are Lila depend upon the time for eating matzah, which itself depends upon, back at the time of the Mikdash, the time for eating the Korban Pesach. And all this depends upon Laila. The Torah says, V'ochlos abosa b'Laila hazeh. As opposed to any other yontif, where you have what's called Tosefes, and you could start even as early as Plaga Mincha. Adarav, etavol lo brocha, let him start earlier. But with regard to the mitzvahs of Leila Pesach, and the first of them all is going to be the shtiyah of the first of the Dalit Kosos, the shtiyah of Kiddush. We need Laila. The other answer to this question might be that Haggadah itself needs Laila, and the Kiddush itself is part of the Haggadah. So let's say, for example, Seisach Kochav would be at 7 p.m. Can I recite my Kiddush at 6:59 and then drink the Kos at 7 p.m.? Well, if you're holding that the delay until Laila is based on the shti of the Kos, then I drank the Kos after Laila, so that's okay. But if you're going to say that the Kiddush itself is part of CPT Mitzrayim, part of the Haggadah, then you'd have to wait until 7 p.m. to recite the Kiddush. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah number Dalit. Aval lo yomar Kiddush Ratzolom delo teimi. You might think, even the Mitzvah Lemayer, you're in such a rush to start the Haggadah, why not start by reciting Kiddush Mibod Yom when the sun hasn't set yet? And that's exactly what we do on Shabbos and Yontif, when Mosif, which is called Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yontif Michol Al HaKodesh LeKaddish VeLechol Mibod Yom. And he said, tells you to take a look back at Hilchos Shabbos and Siman Reish Samach Zayin, and you'll see that we'll start the meal and Kiddush on Friday night, even when it's Mibod Yom, it's still light out, because we already were Mekabel on ourselves Tosefes Shabbos.
So you can't do that on...
Oh, Kabash Malon, the only exception is Leil HaPesach, the Eino came. Why? Lefish Achilas Matzah Hukshal LePesach. We know that just like it says with regard to Pesach, it says, Vol Ochlos Abosim Laila, who you need Laila, and we have an equation between Matzah and Pesach, because the Torah says, Al Matzos Umarom Yochlu Hu, referring to the Korban Pesach. Pesach ain't a nechal alayla. Kiddush tzorach lios b'shar aruya lematzah. So here, I think he's quoting a Taz. Let's see if I'm right. Yeah, the Taz. The Taz has another cheshbon here. We have a principle of ein kiddush al b'mokom se'uda, and the Taz understands that means two things. Number one, in terms of location, that the Kiddush has to be established in the place where you're going to eat the Suda. Number two, it means that the Kiddush has to be connected to the Suda and has to be recited at a moment that's roi l'sa'uda. Now, in the case of Pesach, what's roi l'sa'uda? We don't have the ability of setting up a meal on chametz, on challah, so it's only matzah. But the problem is that the mitzvah matzah is going to be postponed until the time that's right for Pesach, which is Laila. So it's a whole chagadi here. Right? Since you need Laila for Pesach, and matzah is equated to Pesach, so you need the matzah, it also needs Laila. And in order to set up a seuda, you're going to need matzah, because there's no seuda on Laila Pesach without matzah. And at what moment is it roi to matzah? Well, it's roi to matzah only at the point of what? Of Laila. So if you want to get a Kiddush b'makom suda, says the Taz, you're going to have to postpone your Kiddush until Laila. On the other hand, as soon as it's Laila, immediately start with Kiddush without delay. And now the Mishnah Berurah says, V'yod, and furthermore, even without the Taz, the koshel Kiddush u'echem b'dalet kosos v'kuli basar agodah u'matzah v'mar grire. We know that the Dalit Kosos require Laila, just like Haggadah, Matzah, Maror, everything requires Laila. Again, according to the second explanation, you could recite the Kiddush at 6:59 and drink the Kos at 7 o'clock if 7 o'clock is Tzeis HaKol Chavim. But according to the first explanation, which is the Taz, that you need a kiddush b'makom suda, then the kiddush itself has to be delayed until it's royal suda, which is royal matzah. So the kiddush would have to wait until 7 p.m. Interesting. He's totally unaware of the fact that kiddush is part of the Haggadah. He says that the kiddush sets off the dalit, the first of the dalit kosos, and therefore you need laila. But I would say that the kiddush itself is part of the Haggadah, and I think we've seen that in other sources. Achitechshach says the Mishnah Berurah number Hey, the second of the white lines. Ratzalomah liachar tseisa kochavim velo bein hashmashos. So there are many other mitzvahs that we could fulfill during bein hashmashos, like for example Mayriv. Like some people would have Mayriv during Bein HaShemashos. I don't know what your minig is. Here in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of the Ashkenazim are very careful to wait until after Tseis, before they daven Mayriv. That's because of Kriya Shema. But as far as Mayriv itself is concerned, you don't have to have Laila.
Well, in England in the summer, it can be very difficult.
Yeah, very difficult, yeah. And also, even in Eretz Yisrael, when you want to get together the tzibur for both Mincha and Mayriv, keep in mind that the more you delay Mayriv, the more people are going to just walk out. They just can't stay for so long. And they're not going to come back from Mayriv. So you want to get Mayriv done a little bit earlier. Again, you might have to bang on the table and say, please recite Kriyat Shema at such a time. However, there are other mitzvahs that can be fulfilled during Bein HaShemashos. Many poskim say that Chanukah could be lit on Bein HaShemashos. In fact, the Gaon was knowing to be Matlik near Chanukah Bein HaShemashos. Sfiras HaOmer, there's a day in Tosfos in Menachos that we should count the Omer already in Bein HaShemashos. So there are many mitzvahs that you can fulfill in Bein HaShemashos, possibly even Kiddush on Leil Shabbos once you've Mekabel Shabbos. However, with regard to the mitzvahs HaLaila of Pesach, which starts with the Korban Pesach and the Achila, and then it goes to Matzah, and from Matzah it goes to Haggadah, and from Haggadah to all the other mitzvahs, like Dalit Kosos, we need Laila. We're not going to fulfill this any of these mitzvahs during Bein HaShemashos. Rabbo said, what should you bring out to the table? Let's first, we're going to have to break that question up into many different component parts, but let's start with the utensils, the vessels that you're going to eat from. You know, the silverware, the plates, the bowls. So the Mechaber says, go for the best. Yisadir shulchanu yofe bekelim noem kefi kocho. Kefi kocho means according to his financial ability. If he's capable of buying beautiful kelim, that's what he should do. Now we find a very similar halacha with regard to sukkahs. That when you bring out to the sukkah the kelim, you should bring out your finest kelim. But let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number Vav. He says, "V'kelim noyim v'yafal gav to bechal hashana tov lemaipas and mishum zecha lechurban." But leil Pesach mitzvah laharbo shezel bechal derech cherus. Now, basically, what the Mishnah Berurah is doing is he's setting up a conflict here between two. A tug of war between two extremes. One extreme says, you know what? We don't eat from the most beautiful kelim. We'll leave that for the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're at the post-Churban period of time. The other polar extreme says that on the night of Pesach, we have to demonstrate Derech Cherus. And in the, you know, in King Henry VIII or whatever it was, they brought out the most beautiful kelim. So what wins in this tug of war? Derech Cherus. We're going to suspend the Zecher L'Churban. Again, there'll be other opportunities on the night of Pesach to commemorate Zecher L'Churban. Perhaps the Zroah, perhaps the egg. I mean, we'll have other dinim of Zecher L'Churban. But we're not going to have a limitation in Kalim. Kalim, get out there the most beautiful Kalim that you have.
Pesach is not Zecher L'Churban. Pesach is Zecher L'Sias Mitzrayim, which is Cherus. It's
right.
Not the Churban.
We're going to put the Churban on the back burner.
Yeah, because the Churban is, yeah, that's part of our everyday.
But did you know that the night of Pesach is always the same night as Tisha B'Av? Did you know that? Again, this year we're going to have to push off Tisha B'Av till Sunday.
Right.
But if it was a weekday, it would always be the same day of the week.
The last day of Pesach.
And the egg itself is also Zecher L'Avelu. Some say it's reminiscent of the Shibud of Mitzrayim. Others say it's Zecher L'Churma. So there is an element to Zecher L'Churma even embedded into the Leil HaPesach. But not at the loss or at the expense of Derech Chiris. Derech Chiris reigns supreme.
Because that's it. That's
and Derech Chiris is going to trump. Pardon the, you know, today when you use the word Trump, they have all sorts of images. And I think in the light of today's news, we'll need Trump's help over here. Trump's backing, at least, I mean. I know you didn't hear about today's news. Okay.
What's the news?
The news is that they sent a rocket from Gaza ahead on a house in Tel Aviv.
Kfar Saba, I think it was.
Oh, Kfar Saba, okay. No. You know, in the news they call it Tel Aviv because yes, Kfar Saba is like
a suburb of Tel Aviv.
Yeah. So Mirza Hashem, we have to hope for all the help we can. So Derech Chiris reigns supreme, and that's the Leil of Pesach. Bring out your nicest kid. Now, what about Sukkot? Sukkot doesn't have a mitzvah of Derech Chiris. There it has to do with beautifying the Sukkot itself. And it says in Shulchan Aruch that in Sukkot we bring out the most beautiful kelim into the sukkah. In fact, Shulchan Aruch goes very far and says that when you finish eating, you shouldn't delay at all. Get rid of the kelim. Take them out of the sukkah.
In dirty place.
You know, in a hot climate, you might say because of the flies. You know, you want to have a teshu came to do. But even if it's not a hot climate, you don't leave the kelim around in the case of a sukkah. It has nothing to do with Derech Chiris. I'm just pointing out that it's a very similar halacha, but for different reasons. Now he tells you something about the Ma'aril. The Ma'aril lived about 6 centuries ago. He's one of the great poskim. He's the Amud. He's the pillar of Psak for Minhagim of Ashkenaz, of the Ashkenazi Jews. Show you the other Mashkenaz shall nochrim kelim noim lohim mishtavish ben b'shum pam rak bepesach hayeminag lohasim osam al shulchan b'yuchad l'smoach b'ri'iyosam. So we're talking about Mashkenaz shall nochrim means, let's say a guy owes you money and you're allowed to take a Mashkenaz. A Mashkenaz means a collateral. And usually you don't take out those collaterals because if you lose them or chip them, you can lose all your money. The law is that you can't collect a chov unless you return the mashkot. So you don't want to mess around with the mashkot. But on the night of Pesach, the Ma'aril, because these mashkonos were very expensive, and that's why the Jew would guarantee, he would be guaranteed with this collateral, he would bring them out to the Seder table. Now again, this is all Mibod Yom, as we saw in Sif Aleph. We want to make sure that the entire Seder, the Shulchan Aruch, is prepared and it's ready to go as soon as it's nightfall.
Is
so
it
we
also,
get.
Is it only because of Seder? How about for Yom Tov? Covered Yom Tov?
Again, surely Pesach fits into Covered Yom Tov, but here there's a Derech Chiris that takes us beyond Covered Yom Tov, meaning there's a universal halach that applies to all Yom Tovim, and that's Simcha and Beauty and Kovin and Oneg. But with regard to Leil Pesach, we have a separate din called Derech Chiris, that we are kings on this night. And you look at your breakfront and you see certain kelim that you would never even bring out to your table. Like, again, we don't have Mashkonah shall nachrim so much, that's not so common. But we do have very expensive kelim. And you know, we keep them in the break front. You know, some people even cover their break front because it's sneers. They don't want people to look and see that they have expensive silver, expensive glass, whatever it might be. But on Leil Pesach, if it'll enhance your Derech Chiris, again, that depends on you, then bring them out to the table. And now we get up to Haseva. Now Haseva requires preparation. You have to make sure that everyone has a chair. Everyone has a pillow, if let's say you're going to do a save on a pillow, or in the very least, there should be chairs that have arms. A lot of our chairs today don't have arms. Back in the day, they used to have chairs with arms. Today, we're so tight on space that it's very difficult to stack up chairs that have arms. So we look for those chairs without arms. But on Leil HaPesach, if all things are equal and it's possible, make sure that everyone has a chair with an arm. My Rebbe Zichron Levracha used to say that there's no Haseva without an arm. You have to lean on something. It's not tilting. People think, oh, I'll just tilt and eat like that. That's not Haseva. He has proofs from the Gemara that Haseva requires not tilting, but leaning. So you have to lean on something. So he once told us that he got stuck. There was no arm to the chair. So what did he do? He turned the chair around and he leaned on the back of the chair. Uh-huh. Okay, but that's not, you know, that's a knapper derecheres. Yeah, that's a halachic derecheres.
You could have put another chair on your side and lean on that.
Good. Also, I think, Mel, that's a knapper derecheres. That's not really the king's. But if you have an arm, that's much more comfortable. In any event, this should all be prepared mibod yom, you know, before the people come home from shul, or maybe before you go to shul, you should prepare it, because otherwise this could take an awful lot of time if you have many people at the Seder table, start running around looking for chairs and pillows and whatnot. So if you take a look...
You have to be a yekka like me. My wife has it already set up. It's probably the night before.
Night before. Okay, great. Kol hakavod. In this case, we, you know, the mechaber, that's what they say, a great marriage is between a Sephardi girl and an Ashkenazi, meaning a yek, Ashkenaz means Germany, a yeki boy, because both the Sephardim and the Ashkenazim are very into, you know, like you see here, the mechaber, you know, you have to make sure everything's ready before Yantu. And he writes that Yochin Mokom Oshavo Sheyesh Beseva Derecheres already before Yantiv, he's preparing this. Ratzaloma, what is Haseva? The Mishnah Berurah takes this opportunity to define Haseva. She Rosho Mutav Litzad Smol Alamita or Alasavsol Vikarim Tachas Rosho. So he leans on his left side and it's on a bed or on a bench or a couch, and he's got pillows under his head, and this is all next to the Shulchan. And all this should be organized before nightfall. Now we go back to the Mechaber. Actually, we'll take a look at the Ramah. The Ramah is three lines down from the top of the page. Afilu ani she'ein lo karim yeshev ala safsal. So a poor person can't afford, you know, he sleeps on a flat bed, he can't afford enough of pillows. I was always wondering, we're going to have later on a discussion about collecting money for the poor people from what's called Tamchui. Tamchui is loosely translated as the community chest, but it's really the soup kitchen. It's designated for food, to give an ani mazon shtei sudos. And the halacha is that for the sake of dalit kosos, it's almost considered like mazon. It's like food, even though it's yayin, it's not really food. But we have to actually dip into the community chest, the tamchui, the soup kitchen, in order to supply. That's a mission at the beginning of the last parak of Pesachim, to supply dalit kosos. I was wondering, the purpose of dalit kosos is to drink behaseba, and haseba has to be al karim. So maybe we have to use some of that money to buy pillows for the poor people. Yaseb al asafsol. He says that that's typical of the eastern states and provinces. In other words, even if he's on the floor, he's leaning on the left side of his body on the floor itself. This is a Gemara in Arve Pesachim that they used to lean on the feet, the knees of their friends who sat next to them. Meaning that's not the perfect ideal aseba, it's not their cheres, but interesting. He says
but
that
if you lean on your wife,
it's always a great idea to lean on your wife. We all lean on our wife. But he says not to lean on your own knees. You know, people, you know, if you do yoga, I guess, you know, you can lean on your own knees. He says that's derech avelus, that's derech daga, that indicates a fear, not a, you know, a sense of confidence, which is typical of derech chirus. Now we look at the machaber number gimel. Kshu mesiv lo yatal gabo. V'lal pano, v'lal yamino, el al smolo. So each one of these really is a different explanation, but let's go through them one by one. The first one is lo yate al gabo, v'lo al pano. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah claims that this is because of derech cheres. This is a lack, a deficiency in derech cheres. a derech cheres is not to lie on your back, and certainly not to lie on your face. The Gemara has different terms for this in Aramaic. Well, but now we get to something that has nothing to do with derech cheres, and that's lo al yamino. That's a new halacha. Why is yamino mufka from a seva? That's not called a seva. Came in the tzarch lechol be yamino. I guess he's assuming that if you're a righty, you eat with your right hand.
Correct.
And you lean on your right side.
It doesn't make a difference though if you're itty.
But it could make a difference whether you're righty or lefty.
No,
then we get to the
oath.
Well, that's because of the oath. Are you with me in the Shabura?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're up to the Vyod. So again, up to the Vyod, we would say it all depends on whether it's Darko Lechol B'Yamino or not. So for you, it's Darko Lechol B'Yamino, but I'm a lefty, so my Derech is Lechol B'Smol. That's up till the Vyod. Now we get to the Vyod. This is what we're familiar with, the Vyod. And he says, furthermore, and this is the more common understanding of why we require Yamin, and that is Shemayaktim Kon Elevashet. In other words, we're dealing with Sakana. We're not dealing with Derech Eres. Again, in the previous understanding, with, for example, Agabo or Alponov, and even perhaps Al Yamino, according to Rashi's Pshat, which is the first Pshat because of Derech Eres. But now, it's Shemayaktim. This is already a health issue. It has to do with the biological structure.
That's
the
Gan Chauk.
Exactly. Haveshet Hu B'Tzad Yamin. So you know that the veshet is what's called the esophagus in English. That's where the food pipe. And then you have something called the kana, which is the windpipe. Is there another name for a windpipe in English?
No.
No? Just called the windpipe? You know, for those who go to medical school. So the first year of medical school, they take what's called anatomy. So my son went to Einstein Medical School. He told me, the thing about anatomy is that you prepare for the exam, you have to know like one name after the other, you know, saying all these names, and then the day afterwards you forget it. Because it's not really relevant to a physician to know all that anatomy. You know, he's got to know what he has to know. Anyway, Shumata Rosho Klapi Yamin Niftach HaKova Sh'al HaKone Me'elov Yikani Shamachal V'yavol Lidei Sakona. So again, while he's drinking, he has to be very sure, very careful that he's on his left side, because only if he looks on his right side. I meant to say to avoid the left side. I don't know whatever I said.
He has to be on the
left side. That's what I meant.
Lean on the left. He has to lean on the left.
Yeah, to avoid eating in a way that it'll go on that side. But Salomar, he said. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a little bit. He says, why on the left side? He says, "Daveshenu mitzad yamin." Okay, so we're talking about the food pipe is on the esophagus on the right side. Shumata roshol klapi yamin. If he would lean towards his right side, then he's going to get some of the yayin, I guess, caught in his kana, in his windpipe, and therefore he's going to possibly choke, as we said before. And then the Mechaber says, "V'ein chiluk." I'm sorry. This is the Rambam. It says, "V'ein chiluk ben iter liachah, whether he's a lefty or a righty." Ratzlom degam iter. This is Mishnah Berurah Yud Aleph. Tzorich lahasev al smolo shal kol adam afagav du ochel tom b'smolo. In kein l'tam arishon. If you go with the derech cherus, if we only had that tam, then it was hayisorich lahasev al yamino. But mikom komein lachalik min tam sheni. We have to use the second time of Shema Yachtim Kon Elevashet V'hai Tam Adifolon. Even though there's an afkamin between the two Tamim, we can accept the second time Bishum Sakanta Chamir Sakanta Misura, where anything that deals with danger is more severe than even Isur. V'yochal Oso Apam V'yamino Shal Adam. At this time he's going to do it in an unusual way for him, and it's going to be on the right side of Kol Adam. I guess b'di'evan we can rely on the other explanation. Now, does everybody need a seva? Well, that's not really the case, at least not according to the Mechaber. Then we'll see the Rambam. The Machaber says Isha Eino Tzricha Seiva Ela Im Kein Hi Chashuva. Very complicated halachas here. There's something called an Isha Chashuva, and the question is, what is an Isha Chashuva?
I don't think there's any woman who wants to be called non-chashuva.
Right, well, certainly according to the Ashkenaz, and that's correct. But let's go according to the Machaber for a moment. He says that a woman doesn't need Haseba. The Mishnah Berurah explains why. Stam Isha Ein Darka LaHaseh B'Shum Pa'al. You know, you get the impression that there's a tznius issue here, that it's not modest for a woman to do a seva. It's like it attracts attention to a person, and in this case a woman, if she leans, and we don't want to attract attention. And then he says that Bismana said, now he skips the whole deal about Isha Chashuva. Okay, we'll get to Isha Chashuva then after we see the Ramah. The Ramah writes that Kol HaNoshim, all of our women, Shalonu, in our time, Mikri Chashuvos. So what does that mean, Mikri Chashuvos? Again, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say anything. So I'll tell you, Rav Osei, what I know about Chashuvos. There's a Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah about Yichud. In this case, of a woman, a Jewish woman with a non-Jewish man, and there's a shita there of Rav Idi, and Rav Idi says that if she's an Isha Chashuva, then there's no Isur Yichud. So the Mefarshim say, what is an Isha Chashuva, and why would that in any way mitigate the Isur Yichud? So again, this is a long discussion. I'm basing myself on a lot of the poskim, but they say that in the case of a woman, a Jewish woman with a guy, we're not afraid, as we are classically in Yichud, of privacy. We're not afraid of what's called pitui. We're afraid rather of onus. In other words, a Jewish woman is not attracted to a non-Jewish man to have a relationship with him. That's what the poskim are saying. Again, things have changed maybe in our time, but I'm just telling you what it was back in the day. But what we are afraid of is onus, of a rape situation.
Right.
And the exception, says Rabbi Yehuda, is an Isha Chashuva. So what's an Isha Chashuva? So Gemara says that an Isha Chashuva is a woman who has recourse to take someone to court. She can sue someone to a court of law. Again, you can imagine back in the day, when, you know, this is before equality for women, it was very, and especially a Jewish woman, because, you know, I don't know if the Jews were considered chashuv enough to sue a non-Jew in a court of law. And how much more so a Jewish woman. But there was something called an Isha Chashuva. She had certain mahalchim, she had certain connections to the government. Okay, she was she was working in the mayor's office. So she, because of her significance in the government, she was called an Isha Chashuva, and they would take it seriously. If a guy would do something inappropriate with her, she would be able to force him to come in front of a court, and that itself is an inhibiting factor. And therefore, if we assume A, that in the case of Yichud with a guy, there's no chashash of pitu, and the only reason why they instituted a gzeir of Yichud with a non-Jewish man is only because of ones, then Rav Idi says that an Isha Chashuva, we're not afraid of ones. That's enough to inhibit the man, this non-Jewish man, from having this rape relationship. Again, I'm not asking you to learn the laws of Yichud now. We're not paskening for Yichud. I'm just trying to use that to explain what an Isha Chashuva is. In other words, if she has connections, if she's politically out there, you know, in governmental circles, and she has a certain status, then she needs Haseba. Why? Because Haseba is something that reflects a status. In our case, of being a Ben Chorin. And in the case of a Jewish woman, according to the Ramah, all of our Jewish women today have that status. And they can exhibit and demonstrate, I guess instead of saying being a Ben Chorin, you'd say being a Bas Chorin. And therefore she would require Haseba. This is all before we see the Rav Yoh. The Rav Yo wants to do away with the whole institution of Esed, even for men. And why is that? So take a look in the Ramah. The Ramah says, Lo nagu lahasev. He's talking about the women folk. Ki somchim somchu al divrei harav yo. The Rav Yo is one of the Bali Atosvis. Shekosev divizman hazeh ein tzarech lahasev. Or ein lahasev. The different girsos, different texts. What's going on? The Rav Yo says, we don't know, we don't recognize or appreciate the institution of Hasseva. Back in the day, it was commonplace for someone who was a big shot to demonstrate that by leaning. We don't have that. That whole enterprise of leaning is totally foreign to us. And therefore, in our, shall we say, sociological reality, Hasseva doesn't...
We don't need it anymore.
We don't need it. Now, again, we're not going to rely on the Rav Yo L'chatchila, because he's a Das Yachid, and as many of the Rishonim disagree with the Rav Yo, but we will rely on the Rav Yo as far as women are concerned. Since, as we said earlier, there might be an issue of tznius for wood to Hasseva, therefore, let's rely on the Rav Yo, says the Ramah. We'll see the Mishnah Berurah soon, and we'll alleviate any responsibility of Hasseva with regard to our women. Because number one, we have the Machaber. The Machaber says that women don't have Hasseva. It's Mufka. A woman is Mufka from Hasseva. The Hasseva is not appropriate for a woman. Number two, even if you don't accept the Ramah, you'll say that our women are Noshim Chashuvos, but nevertheless you can rely on the Rav Yo, who says that B'chlal, even men don't have Hasseva to them. So when we combine A plus B, we're going to remove the responsibility of Hasseva. So let's see what the Mishnah Berurah has to say. Bizman hazeh ein tzarech lahasev. Again, we're four lines up before the end of the page in the Mishnah Berurah. Kevan di ein regilus baritzeinu b'sharyim osashon lahasev. We don't have any sort of a custom of haseba even during the rest of the year. El Yosef Kedarka, we sit upright at a table on a chair. And therefore, since the Rav Yo's logic is very compelling, you know, it's bekoshi that we require Hasseva for a man, we're not going to go a step further and require Hasseva for a woman. Now he gets into another issue here. Again, so far the Mishnah Berurah has been unusually terse. I'm very surprised, because the Mishnah Berurah is usually much more, you know, he offers you much more meat and potatoes. You know, he really embellishes the halacha. Here he's been very short. Now he goes on to a whole new topic. What's the deal in regards to this chiyuv haseba for an ovel, Rachman al-Tzad? So we're talking about someone who lost, in this case we're going to talk about someone who lost one of his parents. I had a principal who came from Europe, you know, from the old country. His first language was not English. He used to say, if you got in trouble, he'd say, bring me a note from your mother, your father, or one of your parents. Yeah, that's what he said. So he says, what if he's an avil for one of his parents? Or in the case of other relatives, it's during Shloshim. So for his parents, he's an avil for a full 12 months. For the other relatives, like there are seven relatives for avils, it's only 30 days.
Right.
He says, "Kevan shalonag shiva lifnei regel afshu chayev beseva mikomukon nochet shalol yesiv al mita kvuda uklua yesiv b'shinu k'tzas." Okay, so let's try to.
When the shloshim ends with the beginning of Yom Tov.
Wait, just give me a second. I'm going to go through that. Mel, you're brilliant. I'm a little slower than you, so give me a minute. So we're talking about the following. He says that if he was noeg shiva lifnei haregel, so he finished with shiva, and then he enters into shloshim, and then it's yontif, then yontif is mevatel shloshim. So that's not his discussion now, because again, he wants to curtail the haseba. He's going to come up with a kind of a limited form of haseba to reflect the fact that there is avelus. So what Metzius is he talking about? He's talking about a case. Just one second. I'm sorry, I lost it. Tosh Shloshim al Sharkro. Oh, Shalonoag Shiva Lifnei Arega.
So is it mace, they didn't bury them yet. So it's either you or bury Cholomayed.
Yeah, they buried him.
Cholomayed. It's Cholomayed. So you didn't do.
One second. Not have to be buried because we're talking about.
Shalonoag Shiva Lifnei Arega. Therefore, you're going to.
No, but again, we're talking about the Leil HaSeder. Just give me a second, Usher. We're talking about the Leil HaSeder, and he's in Avelus. So again, if they buried the mess during the regal, that would not fit his bill.
So could bury it before without having time to do.
Well, I don't think that's the case.
If you're in Shiva, and Yom Tov comes along, Yom Tov terminates the Shiva, but not the Shloshim.
No, but that's.
You need the last days of Yom Tov. On the Shavuos, for example, it terminates the Shiva, but not the Shloshim, to the best of my knowledge.
It's just 7 days.
Right. But I think, again, I'm just, for the time being, I'm just trying to work through the text of the Mishnah Berurah. I think what the Mishnah Berurah is talking about is the following case. He buried the dead before the regal.
Right.
Now, regal is Mavatel Shiva.
Right.
But even though regal is mevatel shiva, we have a principle called dvarim shebitzina. For example, during that period of time, he doesn't take a hot shower. He's not allowed to have relations with his wife. You know, there's a certain vestige of avelus even during the regal. And I think what he's trying to say is that afal gavdu chayav bes seva, because the regal is mevatel shloshim, mevatel shiva, whatever the case might be. Nevertheless, there's still a vestige of dvarim shebitzina. So if it was a matter of public activity, let's say, for example, the issue of taking an aliyah in shul or sitting in the right place, you would have to be knowing as if there was no avelus at all. That's called dvarim shebefarhesya. So you would not wear a beged of kriya, you know, publicly. But right. He says there's a dvarim shebitzina. Now heseba, because it takes place inside the privacy of one's home, therefore it comes under the principle of dvarim shebitzina. So therefore he says afal gavshu chayev beheseba. Since it's dvarim shebitzina, right? We're not going to. Just 1 second. Kevin shuhu. Oh, he's saying it's chayev shalosim. One second. I see my pshat is not working out. One thing that is correct, I see I was machaming to the Sharat Siyun number Yitalid. She'ov v'sha'achas lifnei regal.
So he was nifta right before the regal.
So he's saying that regal is mevatel shiva. So it's not the way I said it, that this is dvarim shebitzina. Because if this is dvarim shebitzina, then he would not be chayev in a seva. No, the Mishnah Berurah is saying he's chayev in a seva. Why? Because shiva is batel. The regal is mevatel shiva. So why doesn't he consider just someone? You know, I said a good svar. I don't know why he rejects it. Now I'm trying to figure out why not say it's dvarim shebitzina. You know, maybe he's holding that since the seder is for everybody together, and we're going to have Barov HaMadras Melech, maybe that's why it's called Dvarim Shebefarhesya. I don't know. In any event, he says that there's no Shiva. If there's no Shiva, he's Chayv and Aseim. However, it's not pshat that there's no Avelus at all. There is some Avelus, as we said before, and therefore he should curtail, or cut down his Aseim. How does he do so? I mean, Lechora, either there is Aseim, or there's not Aseim. Say it again?
He can't wash or shower until it's
hot water.
Now,
according to some posts, we're not learning on Velas now, so I'm not responsible for any. Certainly he's not allowed. One thing I promise you, he can't have relations with his wife. That's the classic Dora Shavitzin. But he says, Makomakom, so how does he balance between the fact that there's some vestige of Shiva, and yet at the same time, he's chayv in a seva? So he comes up with this middle of the road kind of a seva. Shelo yosef al mita kvuda uklua. There are different kinds of beds, right? There's a beautiful couch or a beautiful bed, you know, with a canopy on it. That's called klua. Eliyeshev b'shinu iktsas. Yosef b'shinu iktsas. He should do a seva, but not the same as seva that we would want to do, which is maximize our hasiv. Nainu al mito v'kar echo tachas rashos. Yeah, a modest kind of hasiv. I like that word. Excellent. You're leaving to England, so what am I going to do without you? Okay, but in the meantime, until you get on the plane, okay, a modest hasiv. I like that. I like that very much. I guess he's talking about, you know how on the couch they have these smaller pillows? You know, instead of using a big pillow.
Or are you dealing with these divans that they used to deal with? You know, where.
So I think he should be avoiding that, I have a feeling. No, the divans is for more, is a more profound derech eres? Or a lesser derech, or a more modest derech eres?
That was the style of the furniture. It really has nothing.
No, but I'm just saying, I'm trying to come up with an understanding of how you would have this middle of the road Haseba. That's not the real McCoy Haseba, it's toned down.
You have one.
So he says, Kar Echod, Kar Echod, he says, Tachas Virashosov. I think he's talking about a couch pillow, you know, not a regular pillow that you sleep on. Oh, Al Birke Chavera, remember he said before that to lean on your friend's knees would be a knapper, kind of a second rate fallback position, pardon the pun, a fallback position as far as a saver. Now, what does a person do in this case with regard to a kittel?
With regard to what?
A kittel. I mean, do you wear a kittel? That's not a Yekish
minute. No,
yeah, I wear a kittel on the night of the Seder.
It's become very fashionable to wear kittels.
When? At the Seder?
In general. Some against it.
Yeah, the people who wear kittels on Friday night, they wear kittels. Okay. But he says the following. Kittel. Okay, I don't know. He has a Hebrew translation of kittel. Beged el yom lavan. Okay, fine. Nagu shalo lilbosh. Wow.
That's a standard minhag during Avelis, the year of Avelis, not to wear kittel.
Right.
That's
what he's codifying here, but I'm trying to fit this into perspective. What's wrong with an oval wearing a kittel? I guess it's derech simcha, derech
chemus. What is it? He says that in Behetev, he says, libo nichna. What does that mean, libo nichna?
By not wearing a kittel, he'll achieve libo nichna? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Where is this in the Behetev number?
The three line, Dalet, Hesev.
Dal. Hesev goes on. Oh, I see what he's saying. You know, you said before, Mel, that this night is not a night for Zecha L'Churba. Right. And I said it's complicated. You know, there is an element of Zecha L'Churba. The Mishnah Brura, or at least the Ber Hetev, and I'm assuming the Mishnah Brura would accept this Ber Hetev, until I know otherwise, is assuming that there's another element of Avelus in our Minhagim of Leil HaSeder. So this is not a cash on you, Mel, because you don't wear a kittel on the Seder, but I wear a kittel. So I have to ask myself, why am I wearing a kittel? So I have my own explanation, but it's not the Ber Hetev. I'll tell you what I heard from the Nitziv, in the name of the Nitziv Mivalojin, why we wear a kittel on Leil HaSeder. But the Ber Hetev has another explanation, and he says it's a kind of avelus. Why? Because white indicates that we're not living up to the standards of HaKadosh Baruch. In other words, we have to look at the white color and realize our faults, our deficiencies.
Well, he said, if I'm not wearing a kittel, I'm showing pride.
Right, when you wear fancy clothes, let's say you wear a suit and a tie, you know, a dark suit and a tie, or a blue suit, whatever color you like, then you're like a big shot. You know, you dress fashionably, you know. But if you wear a kittel is meant to give you...
That's your kittel. That's your kittel. We have a lady that works for us, a clean lady. Her main job is as a seamstress at a place that makes kittels for Hasidim. And they put on their silver and all kinds of fancy stuff on their kittel.
Really?
They were in the Seder. Okay. She has shown us pictures.
So this might be the Nitziv. This might be the Nitziv. I would not say that reflects the Ber Hetev. We're going from one pole extreme to another. There are two poles here as to why you would wear a kittel. He says, the Ber Hetev, that the purpose of a kittel is hachno. Hachno means I should have a sense of, you know, I strive to be white, that my sins should be white. Mechuber kisimla. And he says, in case of an Ovel, he's already in a state of Hakno. He doesn't need the Kittel for that, you know. It's like we, you know, we relieve an Ovel of saying Tachnun, because Tachnun is supposed to put you into a state of Hakno. Well, an Ovel doesn't need that. He's in a state of Hakno. He has many different expressions of his state of Hakno. But the Netziv, which would fit in with what you're talking about, she's a seamstress where? In Muncie? In Muncie. Okay, I would have said Borough Park, but okay, you're saying it's Muncie.
That's right, they moved to Muncie. They moved to Muncie. A lot of Borough Park moved.
Right, right. Yeah. In any event, that's more typical than Netziv. The Netziv says that the reason why we wear a kittel on the night of Pesach is because of what's called the Kavod L'Tiferes. Let me try to explain. Back in the day, when the Beis Hamikdash stood, they would wear special begodim for eating kodshim.
Right.
And they were white begodim. That was the beauty of a white beged. Now you and I might think, well, a dark suit is more beautiful, but you got to accept this as on blind faith, that a white beged is considered beautiful. And when they ate kodshim, there's a special din in Achilles kodshim, that Achilles kodshim has to be l'kavod l'tiferes. There's a special beauty. So the Kohanim had the big day kahuna, but the Israelim had to wear white begodim. So the Tziv says that we want to remember that on this night we would be eating kodshim, if not for one problem. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So Zechel HaMikdash, when they ate kodshim, and like Afikomen is Zechel HaMikdash, maybe the Zroah is Zechel HaMikdash, maybe many different aspects of the night of the Seder that are Zechel HaMikdash, because we realize that our celebration of Pesach today is not the real McCoy. It's very nice, and we're going to spend a lot.
Like a Ovel in a lot of ways, Rabbi.
It's a secondary. It's a fallback. Know, our Seder is not the real Seder, as I say. The real Seder would be eating kodshim. We're eating from the Korban Pesach. Even in the Brach of Gal Yisrael, which is the culmination of Magid, we say v'nochal shom and azvachim and apsachim. You know, that's our whole. The whole Seder almost is built around the Rama. When he writes about Ishtana, he has why don't we eat, why are we eating roasted meat tonight, the child is asking. The Rama imagines in front of him that we're, you know, the Beis HaMikdash is standing and the Rama's Seder, and the Rama's 1,000 years after the Churban, but I don't know how many years, but he's looking at the Korban Pesach in front of his eyes, the Rama. Then all of a sudden he reminds himself, he wakes up from a dream and he says, Mizvan Azed, we have to replace that question with a different question, a Mesuma. In any event, that's the Netziv. So if you're asking me about sewing the silver Torah into your kittel, that would reflect the Netziv. It would be antithetical to the Ber Hetev. The Ber Hetev is talking about Achna. The last thing you want to do in wear white begodim in Achna in mode is to add silver Torah to it, you know.
Yeah.
My Rebbe used to say that his father had a different explanation why we were a kittel. Maybe you like this one, Mel. Kidei sheyishalu atinokos. Just that the children should ask, why are we wearing a kittel? We need to stimulate the children's curiosity in whatever way we do it. It doesn't matter. So that was the meaning to wear a kittel.
Yeah,
that's what Rabbi Moshe Salvation used to say.
Yeah, the upshot is that the kittel is like tafricha.
Yeah, that's going really far. You know, I don't want to get that depressed. Yeah.
Well, that's what
he said. No, it's enough for me. You know.
And that's what the finishes up and said. It's you should wear the kittel. Shehu beged meisim.
Right. No. Right. I didn't want to go that far.
Okay, yeah. But that's okay.
I didn't want to mention the.
All right.
Yeah. The tachrich. That really. That's not gonna. That's gonna. That's not gonna move Mel to change his vinegar. Where. And wear a kittel this well at this.
In the martial arts, they wear the white, the fighting uniforms and the gi.
Yeah.
Martial arts. The reason they wore it is that was their tefillin. They used to fight to the death and be buried in that. That's why they wear those white. That's what they wore it for.
Oh man, that's scary. That's real hachno.
That's what it was. That was like.
Then they should get the car racers and you know to wear white. You know, it's unbelievable. The statistics, I think. I'm not sure, don't quote me on this, but I think every single major car racing, at least one person loses his life. But that's nothing compared to Spain. In Spain, after a bullfight on certain you know, carnival days in the Spanish calendar, they let the bull go wild, and they know that people will die. Yeah. This is what you call Shalor Sani God.
It's a different mentality.
That's what I'm saying, Shalor Sani God. When you say the broth in the morning, Shalor Sani God, think of this minhag, so to speak, of letting the bull go wild. If there's any Shalor Sani God, yeah, when I say Shalor Sani God, I mean Goyish culture. I'm not talking about Shalor Sani God because they're not chayvin mitzvahs. I'm not talking about Shalor Sani God because, you know, the Klippas of Tuma. I'm not talking about Shalor Sani God because they're the adversaries of the Jewish people. I'm leaving all that out. Just think about the Mishagas. And then they have these extreme sports and all this kind of, it's mamish Shalor Sani God. That's why people go to Rome and they visit the Colosseum. At the Colosseum, if they're visiting, they should make the bracha Shalor Sani God. That's the bracha that would be appropriate for seeing the Colosseum, where people would be killed by gladiators and all sorts of crazy culture of the pagans and it's so still far,
it's things so haven't moved today.
Things haven't changed much. He says, if you call mochim biyado, if the Ovet wants to get another element of Hachnoah, and it's not enough in Avelis of Yud Beis Chodesh, Shloshim Yom, let him wear the kittur. We're not going to make a big deal about it. I will try to push it another few minutes. If you can stay, if you can't stay, then just feel free to go. Ben Eitzel Ovet. Very interesting. You know, Haseva is sort of like a rebellious mode. It's almost a chutzpah. You know, I say, I'm a Ben Chorin. I'm autonomous. No one could impose their law, their rule upon me. And that's what Haseva is all about. And that's what it means. We're Ben Chorin. But in a Ben Eitzel Aviv, and certainly a Talmud Eitzel Rabba, which we're going to get to, that's a little bit sensitive because you have a mitzvah called Mora Aviv. Besides the mitzvah Kavod Aviv, you have Kibbutz, you have Mora of it. Now, Mora means mitzvah. You know, again, today, you know, dad is my pal. You know, we give him a slap on the back, dad. Let's go out and throw a frisbee. You know what I'm saying? But back in the day, Mora of it was a serious business. My Rebbe used to talk about his relationship with his father. It was Mamish Mora of it. You know, he was. So the Mechaber says the following, Tzorech HaSeif. Now here we have a gigantic machlokas. Why is Haseba a requirement even in a Ben Eitzel Aviv? So one school of thought has it that there's an assumption of mechila, that the father gives up on and waives his demand for Mora, because he wants his son to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Haseba. So that's what we call an umdana. Have you familiar with that term?
Yeah.
An umdana. The poskim say that if the father says, I don't want you to do a seba, according to that school of thought, he has the rights to do so.
He's not doing a seba to sort of flaunt your father. You're really doing it because Hashem.
Oh, excellent. Excellent, Mel. So that's the second school of thought. The second school of thought says that this issue of Mora Aviv is irrelevant. There's no act of rebellion here, of chutzpah. You're not showing your father that you're the boss. You are simply fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashem. And then afkamina is, what if the father says, I don't want you to do a seva? If you go with the first approach, that Mora Aviv trumps the mitzvah of a seva, except that we have an umdu that he's mochel. Here he tells you, I'm not mochel. If you go with the second approach, that there's no contradiction here between a seva and Mora Aviv, on the contrary, you're fulfilling that mitzvah, then the father doesn't have any rights to change that mitzvah. So let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah here on the bottom of page 159, or page Pei. That's number Yudalit. He says the af da ben chay bichvodo ube moro'o. I would emphasize the word moro'o. Kolshkein imu rabo, and how much more so if his father is also his rebbe? Could you imagine? You know, this is hard to imagine in our time. You know, very few people. I knew one person that fit this bill, but there are very few people who can be described. They describe their father as their rebbe. Rebbe means that you learned most of your Torah from your father. In this case, that's a rebbe. But if you have such a reality, you're sitting at the Seder table of your father and your Rebbe, because your father is your Rebbe. Mikolmakom, even though he's chayv b'moro, tzarech. Now we turn to page 160. Tzarech haseva. You need haseva. Why? The mistama of machil b'nei. And the Mishnah Berurah is accepting that approach that it's based on umdina, but that's not universally accepted. There are others who say that it has nothing to do with the umdina, has nothing to do with mistama, that the father simply has no rights to control or curtail the son's haseva, even if the father is his rebbe. However, on the top of the Mechaber says, afilu murabo muvok, but talmid lufnei rabo, eino tzarech haseva. We can soon see that eino tzarech haseva means that he's not obligated in haseva, but if the rebbe tells him it's okay, that's called reshus or mechila, then he needs haseva. Now this is a gigantic controversy. When it says in the Gemara, this is a Gemara in Arvei Psochim, that Talmid Eitzel Rabo Eino Tzarech Haseva, what does the word Rabo mean? Does the word Rabo mean Rabo Mufok, or does it mean any Rav? Even if he taught him, you know, he was his fourth grade teacher, he taught him Eilu Metzius. And the Mechaber accepts that view, that even if it's Eino Rabo Mufak, nevertheless, we have a mitzvah of Mora, and that mitzvah of Mora is going to undermine Haseva. Now wait a second, we just finished saying that in the case of Aviv, he's allowed to do Haseva, and therefore he's required to do Haseva, and we have an assumption of built-in Mechila. But in the case of Talmid Eitzel Rabo, we don't have a built-in Mechila, and therefore, Elim Kain Yitin Lo Rabba Rishus, he has to wait. He's guilty until proven innocent, until the Rebbe tells him, I'm going to give you Rishus to do a Seva. Now, in our time, we don't see with our eyes that kind of Mora Rabbo that the Mechaber is aware of. That, you know, you're not even going to do a Seva in the presence of your Rebbe unless he tells you explicitly, go ahead and do so. But back in the day, and this I was zocher to see in my youth, just in my childhood, but really, what I saw was a throwback of earlier generations. The Rashiv of Chaim Berlin at that time used to be makvid, that when you left his presence, you had to walk out backwards. And if you didn't walk out backwards, he would call you back and tell you to walk out backwards.
Was this Rav Putnam? I didn't know.
You didn't know. My father worked for him for half a year. Anyway, the point is that there was such a thing back in the day called Mora Rabba. You literally, you shook. Your body was shuddering in the presence of your Rebbe. The Gemara has all sorts of stories about how there were certain students that would literally salivate from the fear. They would shake from the fear. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he writes the following. This is number Tesvav, Talmud Fnei Rabba, Eidin Tzarech Lahasin. Mishum Devereisha Omar Tzarech. No, it's really, it means that he's not allowed to do a seva. But why does he use the word eino tzarech, which implies that he's allowed to if he wants to? He says that's called Ivy the Tani Resha Tani Sefer. That since in the Resha he uses the word tzarech to tell you that a son has to do a seva, he's required to do a seva, even at the presence of his father. Nakat hocha eino tzarech. But really, what he means is you're not allowed to do a seva. The mora rabo kamora shemaim. Now notice in the Mishnah Berurah on daf 159 or pay, he says about father chayav b'chvodu v'moro, but he doesn't say what kimor shemayim. Those two words of kimor shemayim, the Mishnah Berurah is very careful. He only adds that when he gets to talmid b'fnei rabo. So which mora is more intense? The mora that one has for his father, or the mora that he has for his rebbe? For the rebbe, and that's called kimor shemayim. That you don't have by a father. Again, I'm not trying to, don't misunderstand, I'm not trying to be mazazel or reduce the concept of the mitzvah. Mora Aviv. Mora Aviv is an unbelievable mitzvah. You know, it's really up there. But it's not the same as Mora Rabba. And that's why, Rabos, I'm very perplexed as to how the Mishnah Berurah is going to understand the next statement in the Mechaber, Afilu Eino Rabba Muvak. The halach of Kibor Shemayim applies to Rabbi Mufak, which means Lomad Bimenu Rov Chachmasa. But Kibor Shemayim. Ellen Cain, if the Rebbe gives him Rishus, this is called Tamachach Shemachal Kvod Kvod Machal, he has the right to be Mochal, Eno Oz Machuyev Lahasev, he's obligated in Haseva. Yitei lo rabbi reshus hani she'arsheu beferish. Quotes the Chayyot. You have to hear from your Rebbe the words. Go ahead and do as say vazma hani afilu berabo mufak. Okay, if he gets explicit, express permission from his Rebbe, then he's obligated in haseva. We'll just finish up with one more line here. The Mechaber says Tamil Chacham Muflag Bedoro. We're talking about the giants of the generation, the Torah giants of the generation. Afal Pishal Olamad Mimenu Klum. I never studied at the feet. I was never Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein, but I'm at his Seder. So the halacha would be Chashiv Karabo. It's as if he's my Rebbe because he's in charge of transmitting the Torah to the entire door. He's like from the Chachmei Amasora kind of. Now, he's not literally, but like. Is Eino Tzach HaSeva, which again, Eino Tzach means you're not allowed to do a Seva unless he gives you permission. Dafkik Shalukhima Shalukh. Now, here's a tremendous Chiddush of the Ramah. So the question is, I don't want to keep you, we already kept you late a little bit. The question is, when did these halachas apply? Back in the day, everybody had their own Shulchan. Today, we all eat at one table. But even today, you might have a situation where you're in a hall for the Seder, you know, you're in a hotel, I don't know where you are, you're on a cruise, today everything goes, and there are many different tables. So in that case, if he's not sitting at the same table as the Rebbe, or as the Talmud Chacham Muflag Bedoro, then you're chayev in Haseba. And the reason is because every shulchan b'fnei atzmo, every independent table has its own haseva, its own su'uda, and what you're doing at your su'uda has no bearing on what's going on in the next table, which is a different su'uda, and therefore it's not a zilzil, you're not undermining the covenant of the Rebbe. And this is the Ramah's opinion. The Pre-Chadosh, who lived a long time after the Ramah, at least 100 years after the Ramah, he was Mekil, Machmer, and he says that as long as the Rebbe could see him, because the halacha of Rabbo, at what point do you stand up for a Talmud Chacham? Do you know that?
When he's within so many feet of you.
As long as you can see with your eyes. So the Pre-Chadosh is applying that here, that even if we're in two tables within one room, since I see him and he sees me, we have contact, eye contact, that's enough to generate the mitzvah of Mora Rabbah, and that undermines the mitzvah of Hasim. Okay, then we'll stop here. If anyone has any questions, please ask them. If not, let's go on.
This is wonderful, Rabbi.
Thank you so much. Have a great trip, and we'll wait to see you. I don't know if our schedules will coincide.
I go to a